Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to have you out there listening today. If you have your Bible, open it up to Luke 21:36. Luke 21:36, and we've been talking about the rapture. That is the catching away of the saints. And our base scripture for that, our foundation scripture, is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And the Lord himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump shall sound. And then Paul says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And we shall be caught up with the Lord, and we shall always be with the Lord, and we will join with him in the clouds, and we shall always be with the Lord. And then Paul says to take comfort in these words and to encourage each other with these words. And so it is encouraging to know, beloved, that Jesus is coming back. It is encouraging to know that he cares about you. He cares about me. It is encouraging to know that there's more to this life than just this world and just what you see here. You're going to work, or you're coming home, or your hobbies, or your activities, all of that stuff. There is much more to it. The world and what you see here is spiraling to an end, and there's going to be an end to it. You can count on that. You can take that to the bank. There's going to be an end to it, and we're just passing through this world. We are just passing through, and this place is not our home. And if you think this is your home, you better start getting a heavenly mindset about you. You better start thinking about the age to come, because eventually your job is going to be done. Eventually your body is going to be done, and your family is going to be done. And eventually all those things, everything you see and know here on this earth, is going to be finished. And the Lord then will have a day of decision with you. You will be appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. It tells us that in Hebrews 9:27, that once a man is appointed once to die, and then comes the judgment. And so your day is coming. I don't know when it's going to be. You don't know when it's going to be. Your day is coming when you're going to have to stand before the Lord and make an account of all the works that you've done. If you're a believer, you're going to make an account of all the works, everything that you've done here on this earth, and the talents that God has given you, those talents and things that he has entrusted to you. He's going to ask you, what did you do with the talents that I entrusted in your behalf? And so when you receive those talents from the Lord, you need to make sure that you're using them wisely. You need to make sure that you're about your Father's business. You need to make sure that you're redeeming the time, that you're making the most of the time, and that time that is spent will be bringing glory to the kingdom and glory to the name of God and Jesus Christ, his Son. Well, Luke 21:36, Jesus speaks these words. He says, "Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Well, Jesus has given a warning that is given over and over in Scripture, and that warning is this: be ready, be ready. Don't get caught up in the careless ways of the world. Don't get caught up in the daily busyness and the daily activities to the point where you forget about your spiritual walk, to the point where you ignore God and what he is trying to do in your life. Don't get caught up in thinking that what you see here and what you do here is all there is to your life. You are a three-part being. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that you are spirit and in soul and in body. And Paul prayed that the Thessalonican people would be preserved and made whole. And that is, that they would be sanctified, set aside, and made whole, and that they would be ready for the day of his coming, and ready in spirit and in soul and in body. And so I believe Paul listed the three parts of us, the integrated parts of us. We are spirit. That is the part of us that receives from God. That is the part of us that communicates with God. And that is the part that God wants to speak to, is your spirit. And you were created in the image of God, not only in your spirit, but in your soul and in your body. But your spirit is that part of you that is easy to ignore and is easy to set off to the side as your soul and your body take control and start to dictate your behavior and start to dictate what you're going to do here on this earth with your time. And so your spirit wants to communicate with God. Your soul is your personality, your will, your heart, your desire, all of those things, your passions, your emotions, that is your soul. And God's will is that your spirit dictates to your soul your behavior. Your spirit takes control over your soul and dictates your behavior, and not the other way around. When you get into that soulish part of yourself, all you want to do is serve yourself, and all you want to do is feed your soulish nature, and that soulish nature is all about me. It's all about selfishness. It's all about taking care of me and my emotions and my happiness, and my walk here on this earth has to be full of contentment and full of happiness and full of pleasure and entertainment and all those things that we know of as the world. And God's will is that your soul be dictated to by your spirit, and your soul come under the control of your spirit, which is in communication with God. And then, of course, the flesh is the body. The senses are touch, taste, and hearing, and those senses that we can relate to the outside world outside of our body and our flesh. The devil always comes to us and attacks our flesh. The devil always comes to us and tries to get us to give the pleasure of this world to the flesh, and so we get addicted to different things. We get attached to different things that are just things that the flesh desires, things that the flesh needs to keep itself satisfied. And so God's will is that you be ready. Jesus said, watch therefore and pray always. And so as you are in an attitude of prayer, as you are in a time of prayer, you be thinking about what I need to be praying for. I need to pray for myself. I need to pray for my family. I need to pray for my church. I need to pray for this nation. I need to pray that God will protect us, that God will lead us down paths of righteousness. And as you pray, then you're giving your spirit control over your soul and over your flesh. And as you pray, you're communicating with God. God will reveal to you His perfect plan for your life. As you pray, God will give you power. He will give you strength. He will protect you as you pray and talk with God. You have peace that passes all understanding. And so Jesus said, pray always and watch that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. Well, I believe Jesus was talking about the tribulation, to escape all these things, the wrath of God which is to come. And I believe it's God's will that the believers, His church, be raptured out before the great tribulation. And I believe God is going to send His Son Jesus, as it spoke in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. I believe God is going to send His Son Jesus down and say, it's time to go get Him. It's time to gather Him up and bring Him back up here to heaven, and we'll sit down and consummate the wedding at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we talked about last week. There's going to be a great supper in heaven, and Jesus is going to sit down with the believers, and He is going to consummate His marriage with the church that He founded and the church that He instigated here on this earth. And so Jesus says that it is His desire that we escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, the Son of Man is a reference to Himself, Jesus Christ. And again, as a believer, you are going to stand before the Son of Man. 2 Corinthians 5:10 is the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to stand before the Son of Man, and as a believer, you're going to be judged for the works that you have done. You're going to be judged for what you did with the talents and the attributes that Jesus gave you and that God gave you. You're going to be judged to see if you have used those talents properly, if you have invested them in the kingdom of God, if you have given them over to God so that He can use you and use you to bring glory and honor to Him on this earth. Well, again, in terms of timing of the rapture, Matthew 24:32, Jesus says, now learn this parable. from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is that he is near. This is speaking about God, that he is near, that Jesus is near at the door. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Well, most people think this is a passage of scripture that deals not only possibly with the rapture, but it certainly deals with the second coming of Jesus when he comes back and establishes the millennial reign in Revelation 20. And then shortly thereafter, after the millennium is over, the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and all of those unbelieving people on the earth who rejected Jesus Christ, they also will be cast into the lake of fire, and they will join the devil whom they associated with here on this earth and whom they wanted to serve while they were here. And so Jesus says that just as we see the fig tree, or just as we see the peach blooms and the apple blooms in the spring, and we know that summer is coming, and we know there's seasons, so in the natural world we are able to predict what's coming one day after another. We know now that summer is coming close. We had 95 degree heat yesterday, and so we know summer is coming close. And Jesus says, just as you see things in the natural world and there is an order to it, Jesus says, also you can know that there is an order to my kingdom, and there is an order to me coming to gather up the saints. And so we see the signs all around us of things that are coming. We see signs that with Israel coming together as a nation in 1948, that was one of the great, maybe the greatest prophetic sign of the end times, is that God brought his children back from all over the earth, and they have been gathered together as a nation to prepare for the end time battles. And so we know that in all the signs that we see, the news headlines each and every day, and all the nations aligning, even this nation, turning its back against Israel, we know that the coming of the end of the age is near, and that Jesus is at the door. So verse 36 in Matthew 24, Jesus says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so I want to warn you, beloved, I want to warn you against trying to predict. Yes, we can know in general that things are spiraling to an end, and that the end of the age is coming. The end of the age, in a sense, is already here. But don't waste your time trying to predict the day and the hour when Jesus is coming back. Not only will you fail, not only will it be a futile exercise on your part, but in a way it is sin, in a way it is vanity, and God does not want you to do it. He says, in that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And so if you put yourself in a place where you're trying to predict when Jesus is coming back or when the rapture is going to come, when you put yourself in that place to try to predict it, you're putting yourself in the place of God, because Jesus just said he's the only one that knows when this is going to take place. And so as you attempt to try to predict, and I get letters from people saying, Jim, I believe this is going to happen on September 21st or October 15th or whatever day that some great a sign that has been given to them, they think they can predict the day, and I write them back and I say, no, 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 do not predict, do not waste your time predicting when Jesus is coming back. He says don't do it. He says don't waste your time doing it. Not only is it a waste of time, but you are in rebellion to his command, and you are in rebellion to his plan for you. Your plan for the end of the age is to occupy until he comes. Your plan is not to sit around wasting your time trying to predict when the rapture is going to happen. Your plan is to get busy bringing people into the kingdom. Isn't that why God saved you out of the pagan place that you were at, out of the unsaved place? He brought you into a place of light. He brought you into a place of righteousness and blessing. He saved you out of that day of darkness, and he saved you for good works. He saved you to get about and go share the gospel with people who don't know it. And there's so many Christians who are sitting around doing nothing. They're waiting, oh, Jesus, come back, get us out of this mess. Jesus, take us and get us out of this predicament. This United States is such a messed up place. That's not God's will, of course, that it be messed up, but it's also not God's will that we sit around begging Jesus day after day to come back. He's going to come when the Father sends him. He's going to come, and he won't be 1 minute or 1 second late. He's going to come when the Father sends him, and so it is important for you to occupy until he comes. It is important for you to figure out what God wants you to do and get busy doing it. Maybe you need to be sending a missionary. Maybe you need to go yourself to some place and preach the word, or share in the prisons, or share in with your next door neighbor, or hold a Bible study in your home, or spend an hour every day interceding for your grandchildren. I don't know what God has for you to do, but he is speaking to every person that is hearing my voice. He is speaking to you that you need to be doing something, that he has given you a destiny and a calling, and that he has spoken to you that it is important for you to get busy and bring the good news of the gospel to people all over the earth. And may it start right there in your own home. May it start in your own block or your own city, whatever it is. God wants you to get busy, and don't sit around worrying about when Jesus is coming back or try to predict the day. Verse 37 in Matthew 24. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And so Jesus is saying, just as in the days of Noah, well, you can go back to Genesis 6 and read about what was happening in the days of Noah. There was wickedness all across the earth. People were in rebellion to God. The Rephaim were all across the earth. That is, the giants, the men of renown, were all across the earth. And they were a progeny of the fallen angels and the daughters of men. And so there was great rebellion against God and against his plan. And God found only one family that he could save out of all that wickedness. And that was Noah and his family. And all of the rest of them, God said, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to get rid of them all because there's so much wickedness. They can't be redeemed. They can't be brought to a place of righteousness. And so he said, I'm going to wipe them all out. And then he said also that he regretted that he made man, that he was sorry that he made man. And so it was a time of pain for God. It was a time of remorse for him. And so he tried to wipe the slate clean and keep Noah and his family, who were carrying the righteous seed. And out of that family eventually came our Lord and Savior, our Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so God had a plan for Noah, and he wanted to bring the righteous seed through Noah and Noah's family, and eventually Abraham and Jacob, and eventually all of the children of Israel went into the promised land, and Jesus was born. And that is the way we got the righteousness that we have, is through Jesus Christ, who was preserved by that flood when the flood came in the time of Noah. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 38, that just as in the days of Noah, so the days that we are in right now are looking just like the days of Noah. The only difference is God isn't going to unleash a flood upon the earth. The only difference is God has designed a different way, or allowed a different way for the people to be saved. We're not going to go climb in the ark with Noah again. The ark we're climbing into is in Jesus Christ. The ark that is going to save us is Jesus Christ by his blood. You're going to be saved. I'm going to be saved. I am saved. And that is the ark that is going to save us out of the flood that is going to cause all of mankind to perish. And so Jesus said, be ready, just as they were not ready when the flood came. They all perished because all they were worried about was eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and activities, oh, the fun and the entertainment. It was that way back in Noah's day. It's that way today. People are preoccupied. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to go to church. They don't have time to study their Bible. Their lives are so busy, and many of the activities that they have in their life are of very little value. They just take up time, they occupy them, and they keep them away from their pursuit of God. Well, verse 42, Matthew 24, Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken." Well, thieves don't generally call ahead and say, "I'm coming into your house to steal your TV or your computer." They don't generally give you that kind of consideration and that kind of notice. And if you had known, if they called ahead, you could sit there in the front of your house with your gun, I guess, if it's necessary, and protect your house, protect your family, protect your belongings. But unfortunately, that's not the way thieves operate. They come at a time when you don't expect. They come at a time when you don't know, and at a time when you're not prepared. And so they always, most of the time, get what they're coming after. They find the things that they want to steal. And Jesus says, "Know this, that if the master had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed the house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." And so the Son of Man is coming. That much is a given. That much is definite. And he's coming at an hour that you do not expect. And beloved, the reason I'm preaching this message today, the reason I'm bringing this message to you, is because I want you to be ready. I want you to get down on your knees. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you get down on your knees and you say, "Jesus, I want to be ready. When that gospel train shows up, when you come back to gather up the saints, I want to be on that train. I want to be ready." And if you'll do that, if you'll make amends and do business with the Lord right now, then you know you will be ready, and you will have a peace come over your life. You'll have a peace and a joy. Then you can get rid of your sin. Jesus Christ's blood will cover your sin, and you can thank him for that, that you don't have to be righteous. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life today. You can be addicted to pornography, drugs, alcohol. You can be a liar, a cheater, a stealer, whatever you are, and you can come to the cross. You can come to Jesus right now, today, and let him wash away your sins, and you repent of your sins, and you say, "Jesus, come into my life," and you come in, and he will set up a place in your heart. He will write his commandments upon your heart, and he will clean you up, and he will sanctify you and consecrate you and justify you, and you will have the righteousness of Jesus that you cannot have on your own in your natural. There's no way that you can have that righteousness. Well, the main message that I want to leave with you today, beloved, is to watch and be ready. Stay in prayer. Stay in prayer. Be watchful. But also that you occupy, that you get busy. You're saved for good works. You're saved for good works. You're not just saved to sit around on the couch and pray that Jesus comes back quickly and gets us out of this mess. If he was going to do that, we'd all just be raptured and taken up the minute we're saved. He'd just take us up and say, "Well, that's done, that's over." That isn't the way it works. He saves us, and he saves us for good works, and then he shows us what we can do for the kingdom of God. He shows us how we can bring glory to God and how he can use our life to bring glory and honor to his name and to spread the gospel so that other people who are in the same sorry condition that we were in, the same people who were separated from God by their sin and had no hope in their life and all they knew was rejection and rebellion and all those sinful things in their life, that we can be saved out of those things and we can come to know the righteousness of God. Well, beloved, I hope that is you today, that you can thank the Lord that he has saved you. And again, if you have never made a decision to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never got down on your knees and repented of your sins and asked the Lord to save you, you do that today. Contact me at pureprairie@hotmail.com. I'll get you some literature and some information. I'd like to hear from many of you. I'd like to hear from you if this broadcast is impacting your life, if you enjoy it. And also, this is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we want to hear from you. I pray that you would sit down today and write out a check and support Gather the Outcast Ministry, that we can keep these radio broadcasts coming to you. Also, we have an Africa mission coming up. I'll be going to 5 countries in Africa. 3 of them, I'll be preaching crusades in Kenya and in Burundi and in Congo. And so we would like to have your support for those crusades, your prayers, and your support. And if you would stay tuned for the contact information and sit down, write us out a check, we would be very grateful and very thankful for your support for this ministry. Our contact information is coming up shortly. We've got a book offer for you if you would make a donation of any amount. And so we thank you for tuning in today. We thank you for listening and for this time together. We pray that God will bless you today. Tune in again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.